Dei Dei Torah Meister Chof Dalet Tammuz Toshib Aleph Reb Shalom Springer.
Good morning to you all. We are still, I hope, so to speak, in the aftermath, afterglow of yesterday's parasha. Today being Sunday, we can still talk about what we learned yesterday in Parashas Pinchas. And of course, what we have there as certainly the opening part of the Sedra. Sedra contains many subjects, but the opening part of the Sedra is a supreme act of Kanos. Actually, it's last week's Sedra, it's the end of the last week's Sedra. But Lamaisa, the reward, etc., and Brisi Sholoim occurs at the beginning of Pinchas. And so what I'd like to talk about for a few minutes today is Kanos, the whole subject of Kanos. When it's legitimate, when it's not legitimate, who should be a Kanoi, maybe not everybody. So there was Pinchas's act against Zimri in a very, very public way. And this was an act of Kanos which is lauded by the Ribbono Shel Olam. There are conditions that apply to Kanos, we should be clear. Firstly, it's got to be an act which the Kanoi is acting against, which has got to be done publicly. And the idea is that the motives of the Kanoi must be totally pure. They must be for Hashem. There must be no aspect of ego in it at all. Because if it isn't that which is for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then actually it's an act of murder. It's only allowed in very, very specialized circumstances. And Pinchas was successful, as we know, because he actually stopped the Magefa. The Magefa stopped after his act. And therefore the Ribbono Shel Olam awarded him this tremendous medal of Brisi Sholoim. Now, we know what Rashi tells us, that Pinchas was already a Kohen because he was the son of Aaron, but Rashi tells us that in fact he earned it himself. And it was a very good thing that he wasn't a Kohen at this stage when Aaron was anointed, because had he been a Kohen, because he did an act of taking a life, therefore that would pass this Kuna, and therefore his entree into Kuna was as a result of taking the life of Zimri and Cosby. So, you know, there are circumstances in which a certain measure of hypocrisy is permitted. I'm talking about things that we do because of maybe our public image or pressures of society, other reasons which are not totally lishma. Yeah, we do lots of things like that, let's face it, and maybe b'chadri chadorim it's a little bit different. I'm not saying people do terrible averus b'chadri chadorim, but lemaisa, our public persona is somewhat different from the way we would behave in private. And that's all okay, because as Chazal tell us, le'olam yasek odom b'toyra mitzvahs, a person should be yasek in toyra mitzvahs all the time, le'olam Shaloi Lishma, and he should do it Shaloi Lishma. And the Rebbe Dessler and others go even further, that you cannot do a mitzvah Lishma until you've done it, so to speak, Shaloi Lishma. They're quite a big step. But the Maisa, you should always do it, even if it's Shaloi Lishma, whatever you do, because people admire you for it or praise you for it, that's fine. Because when you see the value of the mitzvah that you're doing, after a period of time, you will get the value, and therefore you will do it lishma eventually. Of course, it's talking about Talmud Torah as well. People might, you know, want to be seen carrying a Gemara along the street to their shir, daf yomi, whatever it is, but then they'll see the value of what they're doing, and they'll do it for its own sake. So, loy lam yasakot ha-betorah, mitzvahs, shloy lishma, shemitoyach, shloy lishma, bo lishma. It's a certain measure, tiny little bit of hypocrisy there, but this is perfectly mutter, and in fact, by Chazal, it's encouraged. But there is one thing that you cannot do in any hypocritical manner at all, and that is become a kanoi. Kanoas has got to be done kuloi l'shem shemaim. If there's any ego in it at all, then it becomes posel. It's not good, and it can't be done in that way. So that's the sort of prelude to what we are saying about Canoas in general, and therefore it's something to be aware of. We have Canoim who are around and maybe throwing stones at cars or Shabbos, whatever it might be, and they think they're doing a mitzvah. And let's just hear the following moshel given by Reb Chaim Soloveitchik to get us a measure of what it's meant to be a kanoi. He gives a moshel of a housewife who buys a cat, gets a cat, because the house is full of mice. And anyway, she sets the cat down, and the cat runs around and starts catching the mice. Now, the kavona of the housewife is just one thing, get rid of the mice. Yeah? She's not very happy about it, not a killer, but she has to get rid of the mice, but the cat has a completely different agenda. The cat is only too pleased that the mice are running around and that the cat can pounce on the mice. So that's completely different. So both are doing the same thing, but they've both got different agendas. And that is the sort of two types of kanoi. One kanoi is upset by what they have to do. They must be in pain by what they have to do. They have to do it, but they're in pain when they do it, whereas the other sort of kanoi is only too pleased to find fault in others, and that sort of kanos is, of course, the illegitimate source, looking for opportunities to be a kanoi. That's not the right way. And Rabbi Breitowitz, who gave a dosh on this subject, and I heard some of what he said, he actually brought an example of a great writer that once was a riverboat pilot. So it's a very difficult thing to pilot this boat along a very narrow river. You've got to mind the shallows and the rocks, etc. But on the other hand, before he did that, he used to notice the river and its beauty and its glimmering and shimmering. And when he had to do the boat, he only concentrated on the boat. Yeah? So sometimes one's focus can be narrower and narrower. And therefore, this is the point that we have got to see to it, that we always retain a sense of balance about what we're being a kanoi about. So kanoas must not only be l'shem shemayim, kanoas has also got to be the love and care for Klal Yisrael. That's why one's doing it. That is the motivation. And that was certainly the motivation of Pinchas. In Shemoneh Esrah, we call it Shemoneh Esrah. In fact, of course, we know there are 19 brachas. One bracha was added, that is, of course, Velam al Shinim was added, and Rabbi Gamliel wanted to add this bracha, and he was in a bit of a quandary as to how to do it. There was a difficulty about finding an author for this bracha. Why is that? Because this is the only bracha which asks the Rabbeinu Shloilom to take revenge against the Velam al Shinim, against the Minim. All the other brachas are very positive. This is the only one in which we ask the Rabbeinu Shel Olam to do something against people. And so he had difficulty in finding the composer of this bracha until he found Shmuel HaKotan. They chose Shmuel HaKotan, about which there was a baskoil about him. He's equivalent to Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeah, he's a very great man. So Shmuel HaKotan had this quality that he was the one that could be the composer of Olam Al Shinim. Why? In Pirkei Avos, not this week's Pirkei Avos, but in Kapitel Dalet, we have one quote of Shmuel HaKotan. Bin foil oivecha al tismach. Yeah? So he is the one that is telling us that, okay, your enemy is suffering some sort of downfall, but don't be happy about it. So therefore he has that middah of being able to see through sort of what one would normally have as hate, because Rabbi Gamliel was worried, we are suffering so much, of course it was the time of the Romans, we are suffering so much at the hands of the Romans, compose a bracha asking the Rabbeinu Shel Olam to vent his wrath on the Romans, it can't, lo yimolate that you're going to add some hate into it because we are suffering so much. It's very, very difficult to have a bracha, which is a kulei bracha and kulei l'shem shemayim, without. And of course, Shmuel HaKotan is the right man to do it, because he had this motto of bin foil oivecha al tismach, and therefore he was chosen. So we see what the qualities of a person has to be. Somebody who's loichem, milchemes Hashem, has got to have the quality of actually divesting himself of all self-interest, And therefore, it's got to be and can be L'shem Shemayim only under those circumstances. So you want to be an activist, that's very, very nice, but you must know what you're doing, of course, and you must also hate what you're doing. If you hate what you're doing, then you're a good kanoi. If you love what you're doing, you're a bad kanoi. That's the general rule. Okay, now I want to actually just say one more thing about Pinchas, and then I want to digress to some other kanoim that we had and have a look at their history. And the Ksav Sofer says that, it says in our Sedra, in yesterday's Sedra, Pinchas ben Elozar ben Aaron HaKoin. It's unusual to say ben twice, ben him, etc. So we know that Elozar was the son of Aaron. And so why does the Torah say Pinchas ben Elozar ben Aaron HaKoin? He suggests, sort of, if you like, slightly derech meritza, that in fact Pinchas had two fathers. He had his biological father, who was Elozar, of course, but he also had another father. His father was his grandfather, Aaron HaKohen. And we know the middah of Aaron HaKohen was Oyev Sholem, Roidev Sholem. So Pinchas wasn't this man of violence. He had to do a violent act, but he wasn't a man of violence. He was an Oyev Sholem and Roidev Sholem. He took his middah from his grandfather, Aaron HaKohen. And so therefore, we have got an idea of what a kanoi has got to be. And as I said, in fact, kanoas has a shtickle history. And the history is in Parshas Vayechi, which Yaakov, in outlining the brachas to all the shvatim, we know about the story of Shimon and Levi. Shimon and Levi took revenge for Dinah. And when he's doling out the brachas, Yaakov Avinu says about Shimon v'Levi, Achal keim b'Yaakov v'afitzeim b'Yisrael. I'm going to spread them out. I'm going to spread them out among Klal Yisrael. They are going to become the teachers of Klal Yisrael. And Shimon was, of course, a tribe of teachers. And as far as Levi is concerned, he had to be machzer al agroinois, had to go round the land to actually take the truma, etc. But l'maisa, Yaakov is spreading them around. And so both of them are wandering around the country, and that is their brocha. And they're dependent on others. So even though that was a punishment to some extent because of what they did, yeah, they brought Klal Yisrael into sort of disrepute, at least Yaakov into disrepute, by doing their act. That's true, but nevertheless, there was a positive aspect of what they were doing. In fact, they would become the teachers, and they would be traveling around. They were the ones that had, so to speak, the fire in their belly. They had this feeling that, Hachazoyno, Yasa Hachaseinu, yeah, are we going to stand by and let Dinah be defiled and not do anything about it? So they were the ones with the kanoas in them, and they used it to good effect. So those who haven't got that for the right reasons, they leap into action to, so to speak, correct it, but they haven't got the right kavonas. They did. And that's why Yaakov chose them as teachers, because we need teachers who have got this feeling, what I call the fire in their belly, the active part of them, that they're going to fire up the pupils, they're going to make people want to learn Torah, and they see the beauty of Torah. You can't have a sort of dull teacher, you know, then doesn't give over the message properly in the right lebedikkeit and the right way. So we want teachers who have got this fire. And Shimon and Levi demonstrated this kanos. Interestingly enough, this is Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky in Vayechi, where he explains all this. He says that Levi continued to carry on with this kanos in all sorts of ways. We know that they fought against the Egel, and they stood by Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu was giving out orders. And they were the ones that saved Klal Yisrael by making sure that the eagle didn't permeate all of Klal Yisrael. Where is Shimon? You know, there is a deafening silence from Shimon. All of a sudden, this kanoas is completely absent in Shimon. There is a famous line somewhere where the great detective says, well, there is, of course, the strange behavior of the dog during the night. And his companion says, but the dog did nothing during the night. He says, that's the strange behavior. Okay, so Here we have an example. Shimon, he's the great kanoi when it comes to dinar. It comes to the Egel, complete silent. Yeah, we don't hear from Shimon at all. And he's strangely silent. And when we go on in our history, we find other examples where Levi stood by when Klal Yisrael wanted to turn back and go back to Mitzrayim. It's Levi that stands as a chaimah, as a wall. Again, no trace of Shimon. When did Shimon show some sort of enthusiasm for something? In last week's Seder, in Seder Bolo, yeah, by Baal Pa'ayah. All of a sudden, it's Shimon, yeah, and Zimri. All of a sudden, that tshuka, that sort of feeling and the taiva gets him. So there we find it, but we don't find it anywhere L'shem Shemayim. And Ryakov Kamenetsky asks the question, but why? Why does Levi go one way and Shimon goes the other way? And he says, the reason is that Levi, for some reason or other, were exempt from working in Mitzrayim. What did they do? They learned Torah. So therefore, their Torah informed and directed their kanos at all times. They were imbued with Torah, so when something needed to be done, then it was completely filled with Torah and therefore directed by Torah, and that, of course, is good kanos. And that's why Levi always turned out very, very well when they took action, because Torah was with them, their kanos was something which was valid. Whereas Shimon, on the other hand, didn't have that. They were working in Mitzrayim. They also had that general feeling, but it went wrong on various occasions.
Well, of course, so, the kanos wasn't like Shimon. That's not a kanos. They did it to Shem, their sister, their father, or sister. Shimon did it to Shem Shemai.
Well, that is also L'shem Shemayim. When they did it for dinar, as far as they were concerned, it was L'shem Shemayim, because something was being done which was wrong. And the idea of a kanoi is that you see something done which is wrong, L'shem Hashem, or for whatever reason, any moral purposes at all, Bein Olam L'Chaveiro, you see something wrong, and you don't stand by and do nothing, but you take action. That's all L'shem Shemayim. So the fact that the Maisa is for dinar doesn't change the issue that what they were doing was L'shem Shemayim, most certainly. So they had this midah of kanos. When they see something wrong, they take action. It's perfectly valid. And similarly, of course, in Vayechi brings the story of Pinchas, that throughout Levi acted honorably, guided by the Torah. And without Hadrocha, as far as Shimon is concerned, without Hadrocha, and we have the example of Baal Pa'ayah, yes, they needed tremendous courage to do what they did. Going against the trend and acting as Zimri did needed tremendous courage, physical courage, so to speak. But it's courage misdirected, it's not in the right direction. And therefore, it becomes invalid. So Kanoas, which is unbridled and unguided, will not succeed, will end in tears and destruction. Only Gedolim can actually exercise this kanos. And I'll read you exactly what Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says at the end of this whole piece, which is worth looking at, which I've sort of summarized. He says as follows: Kanos she'enu mudgeres lefi halacha. So kanos, which is not guided or bounded by the halacha, ein b'koicha la'atzliach. It drives you out of the world. Kanos, which is misdirected or not directed by the right motives and the right hadrocha, drives the person out of the world. Only the gedoyle Torah v'chol doy v'doya nichne b'chush hechorif l'das v'lachdi. They have the insight and the sharpness of mind to know when Kanos is valid. Mosait tzrichin lekane, v'limchois u'mosait tzrichin lishtaik. When to be quiet and when to shout is something that only a godel can do. Other people who think they have the authority and can do things because they feel that this is the thing to do are usually misguided. And therefore, we have a lesson from there that it is a difficult dilemma sometimes. But one of the eitzes to deal with issues and situations, of course, there is a famous posuk, Kamayim ponim el ponim. The way you treat other people is the way other people reflect back at you. And maybe this is the idea during these 3 weeks, where we know that the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of the three Averis, Gilaroi, Shrichas Domim, Avodah Zorah. And that was terrible enough. And the Meforshim explain that those three Averis made the pillars of the Ovis crumble, because all of those three Averis negated what the Ovis had set up. The first Beis HaMikdash we got as Isarusa de Lielo. We got it as a freebie. As far as Klal Yisrael is concerned, they didn't earn it at all. They got it Beschus Avrom, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. And so Avrom, which was Chesed, stood for Chesed. That was the, one of the pillars of the Beis HaMikdash. And when we did Gil Aroyes, that is the obverse, that is the converse of Chesed. That's what they could describe as Chesed gone wrong. Yeah, a person who cannot say no. Chesed gone wrong is the negation of Chesed. So the first pillar tumbled down. And then we have Gevurah of Yitzchak, which is the second pillar of the Beis HaMikdash. And of course, Gevurah gone wrong is Shvichas Domim. Yeah, I mean, don't let anybody stand in your way, you flatten them instead. And of course, Yaakov stands for Emes, Titin Emes for Yaakov. And the negation of Emes, the greatest negation of Emes, is of course Avodah Zorah. So in other words, what we did in the first Beis HaMikdash made the supports of the Beis HaMikdash and the schools of the Beis HaMikdash disappear. But the second Beis HaMikdash, of course we all know, was due to Sinas Chinam, which is, as we usually translate that as, baseless hatred. It's not a good translation. Hatred always has a basis. You know, a person hates somebody else, he doesn't dislike them for a reason. But it's not a valid reason, that's the point. Yeah, if he's doing something connected to halacha, you may hate what he does, or hate the person himself, perhaps. But if it's not valid, if it's just because you don't happen to like the way he does things, and it's perfectly halacha, you have no right to hate him. That's sinas chinam. So a lot of sinas chinam, we all know the story of Bar Kamtza, etc. And it seems that that is what was happening there, Chazal tell us, second base of Mikdash. Why? Because the second base of Mikdash was built Isarusa de la Tato. That was something that was the schus of Klal Yisrael. When you have a look at the Parshias, when Ezra was leading Klal Yisrael down to build the Beis HaMikdash, they were singing together and they were working together. There were tremendous achdus in Klal Yisrael. Maybe they hadn't been for a long, long time. Achdus like that. So in other words, the schus of the second Beis HaMikdash was the achdus of Klal Yisrael. What is the destruction of achdus? Sinas chinam. So it's the, in other words, the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash took away the schus of why we had the second Beis HaMikdash in the first place, and therefore, of course, we lost it. What is the antidote to all of this? We're still living with the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, as Chazal is saying. The destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash only lasted 70 years. And so it couldn't have been, in a sense, so bad as the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, which has been lasting, which has lasted 2,000 years. And I just quote this pasuk, "Kamayim ponim el ponim, kein leva odom." So the way we treat other people, that's the way it's reflected to us. And I don't know whether you've ever seen the hakdoma of the Hamekdovo, the Netziv, to Bereshis. He talks about the Ovis. He talks about why Bereshis is called the Sefer Ovis. And it's also called, it's a very, very short piece, it's sort of half a page, in the small Hamikdov HaChemoshim. He brings that, that it's called Sefer HaYosha. In fact, Thomas Nafshi, Moshe Shorim, said Bilom, and it's referring to the Ovis. What is a Yosha? Now we all imagine that we translate it as an upright person, an honest person. That's not the way he does it. When you have a look at the behavior of the Ovis, he explains, you'll find that they were makabel everybody b'seva ponim yofis. Even Avraham Avinu had oivdei avodah zorah, potential oivdei avodah zorah in his house. He didn't complain. He tried to clean them up, perhaps, but Lemaisi would have them in his house. If you have a look at all the history of the Ovis, you'll find in each case that what they're doing is being makabel people far removed from themselves in a very, very nice way. And that's the problem with our doya. That we're not Yeshorim in that sense. We have different groupings. You know, one particular group isn't, you know, if somebody's to the right of me, he's a fanatic. If he's to the left of me, he's a shaygetz. And we make our world go narrow and narrow by excluding all the time. And what he says is, I'm not saying this is any chiddish, everybody says this, that if we can develop some sort of sympathy, at least, or some sort of recognition for other groups in Klal Yisrael, maybe we are then on the way to correcting the Sinas Chinom that happened at the second Beis HaMikdash. And we're told every year that the Beis HaMikdash isn't built. This is a terribly difficult thing to swallow, but we are told by Chazal that every year that Beis HaMikdash is not rebuilt, it's ki'ilu nechrav, it's as if we supervised over another churban. And of course the correction of that is not to do, or not to repeat, or not perpetuate those things that caused the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash at the time, which was Sinas Chinam. If we can treat other groups, and certainly other people, in a manner which respects another way of practicing Yiddishkeit, which is perfectly as valid as ours, then maybe we will begin to build, at least conceptually and perhaps eventually physically, a future Beis HaMikdash by Shlishi, the Bias Goel Tzedek Mpeir of Yamin. Amen.